yes, the sound of a nightclub. Don't you feel 25 again? Something Sydney's King Cross area used to be famous for and infamous for too, I suppose. But with the city's nightlife being widely panned since the lockout laws took effect in 2014, you'd be forgiven for thinking King's Cross might sound more like this now. Okay. That might be a stretch, but you know what I'm saying here. A new report from Deloitte suggests Australia's economy could be $16 billion a year better off if Sydney's nightlife was better nurtured. I think this has a lot to do with those lockout laws. Jess Scully is a councillor at the City of Sydney and the founding director of Vivid Ideas. Welcome to RN Drive.
Hi, Patricia. Good to be here.
So the report says Sydney's nightlife is worth about $27 billion a year right now, but it could be worth $43 billion. Just, you know, lots of billions we're talking about here. That's a lot more than the original billions. Does that sound right to you?
I think it does, because I think what a lot of us see is that Sydney's nightlife is surviving, it's not thriving. And that's because it's, I mean, we're lucky that it's doing as well as it is, because we're doing this well with the government having its foot on the brakes as far as the growth and the development, both socially and culturally, but as this report points out, economically, of nightlife in Sydney. And it's a really huge employer. It's important for our economy. It employs over 230,000 people in Sydney alone. If we don't have sensible evidence-based policy around nightlife, around festivals, around culture and around those things that we need to do to connect with each other socially, then it has a bad economic impact as well as a social impact.
Is this locals not spending money? Is it tourists staying in their hotels?
I think it's a combination of both. I think one of the most damaging impacts of the lockout laws, which were a really slapdash piece of legislation that clamped down on Sydney, is that Sydney's international reputation has suffered. And so we're not getting the bed nights, we're not getting the extension of stay from tourists that we would have if we had a better global image. But one of the there's another interesting piece of research that was released this time last year by the Committee for Sydney, drawing on data from MasterCard, who actually tracked where people were spending money on their credit cards. And they found that people in Sydney tended to spend more money on non-communal activities, non-communal after-dark spending. So basically grocery shopping rather than going out to eat at restaurants or go out to see some entertainment. So we're seeing people having to redirect their spend because they're having a contraction in the number of options available to them.
On the lockout laws, the report says you can't just think of nightlife as pubs and clubs and that it could be, you know, 24-hour gyms, supermarkets, late-night art galleries. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, at the City of Sydney, we have been undergoing a huge review of our late night trading hours. We received 10,000 submissions this time last year, and 90% of respondents said they want more diversity in their nightlife. They want to be able to do civilised things like go to dinner or the theatre, but they also want to be able to go to the gym. They want to be able to get a haircut. They want to be able to go shopping. It's about offering people options after dark and understanding that we're all living longer days and we need to have a city that reflects that. So, and also culturally, there are a lot of people who would much prefer to go to a fancy dessert bar than to a nightclub. And we're seeing a huge growth in these alternative nightlife experiences in Sydney as well.
Putting your festival curator hat on for a moment, Jess, which I'm sure is one of your favourite hats. It's a good hat.
It's a very colourful hat.
Organisers of the Mountain Sounds Festival cancelled their event at the weekend, blaming Gladys Berejiklian, the New South Wales Premier, and her war on festivals. That's how they describe it. Here's the Premier.
If event organisers don't want to obey the law, that's a decision for them. You know, it's not really fair to use the government as an excuse. You can't just make a quick dollar without thinking about the safety of young people, to think about the safety of the event. And look, I can appreciate if people don't want to hold these events, that's fine, but don't blame the government. You have to step up and make sure you're doing the right thing by the law.
Okay, so what does the New South Wales government require from organisers now to ensure that events are safe?
This is the lockout 2.0, and the whole festival sector is very concerned about these very last minute, very knee-jerk responses. So basically what they've done is they said, we're having a problem, but we refuse to deal with this through harm minimisation, through pill testing. So instead, we're going to charge festival organisers for the marketing material we make, the Department of Health, for example, to encourage people not to take drugs. We're going to charge people for an over-policing of these events. And in the instance of Mountain Sounds, they were slapped with an additional $200,000 bill just a few days out from their event. And that is not helping. That is not working with the sector to create a safer condition. What they're trying to do here is essentially deal with the issue by shutting down the festival's scene in New South Wales. And we've also had a very high profile promoter, Peter Noble from Blues Fest, say that this might be his last Blues Fest in New South Wales because it's become so expensive and so restrictive. I've also heard from people that in the lead up to Mardi Gras, they're suddenly being slapped with a whole bunch of requirements around policing, extra ambulance services, things that weren't included in their budgets. I've worked on festivals for a decade and I know how far out and how carefully budgets are planned and organised. I know how much is spent on crowd control, on safety, on police, on ambos, on the whole lot. If you suddenly come along and double, triple, quadruple those numbers, of course it's going to put the sector out of work, and there's a lot of people who will be out of work as a result.
Very interesting perspective. Jess, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Patricia.
Jess Scully is a councillor at the City of Sydney and the founding director of Vivid Ideas.